All right. So I'd like to really answer a kasha that's a well-known kasha. And I think maybe we could explain it and show a different approach here to the whole Sipa Maisa with the communications between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro, and with the Makos, what the purpose of the Makos was. So the question that's a well-known question is that on the surface it would appear that Moshe Rabbeinu was engaged in a kind of subterfuge with Paro. It was deceitful. His proposition to Paro was really a ruse. I mean, it was not a serious proposition. It was a trick, because really, what did he say? He said that he went to Paro and he said that Neuchana Shlosh Hashem Bamidbar V'Nizbuchah L'Hashem Elokeinu. We'll go for 3 days and we'll come back. And really, I mean, it would seem that that's really, it really wasn't true, because they never intended to come back. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu make this proposition to Paro, which was really false, really a lie? So you say, okay, I mean, you have to get Klal Yisrael, remove Klal Yisrael from Avda, so you have to lie. But you see that the Rishonim were really bothered with this. Rishonim were really bothered by this question. Ibn Ezra, for one, I mean, he raises a question, and he deals with it. He wants to say that they never said they're going to come back. They said they're going to distance themselves, a distance of 3 days. Paro understood that they're going to come back. Okay, I mean, I think the answer is a bit difficult. I mean, because really, by implication, is that they were just going to go for 3 days. Yeah. So I would like to deal with that question. How did Moshe Rabbeinu present to Paro and the Rishonim were bothered that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should use a type of method which wasn't truthful? I mean, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Midas Emes, Shem Elokim Emes. So how could he use such a devious, false kind of a pretense. I mean, a pretense to take out Klal Yisrael. Yeah. I also like to explain what exactly the snare was. Insofar as we can understand it. Of course, the snare is Mara Hanavua, and the Mara in Mara Hanavua, the only one that can understand the Mara Hanavua is the Novi himself, who's perceiving it. I mean, we are completely outsiders. And the only thing we can do is we can glean here and there an idea, perhaps, but to really understand the mind of all, of course, is impossible. But I'd like to, the Torah apparently does tell us something about it, and the Rishonim do give some tell us some ideas about it. I'd like to just explain what the idea of this now was. Okay. When you take a look, actually, at what Moshe Rabbeinu did, It was really the strangest kind of situation. I mean, a lot of times when you become used to the text of the Torah, so it's difficult to kind of like remove yourself from your familiarity with the text and look at it from the outside like it was, like it really happened, as it really transpired, to put yourself back in the situation to a time frame which was before, you know, before what we have. It's like the Rav one time said, with regard to Allah also, that once something comes established, you know, it becomes hard to look back and see what the situation was, what was before. I mean, like he mentioned, like Reb Chaim's chiddush that ishtar, the essence of ishtar is that it's nasa midasa meschayev. Like that becomes commonplace. Then you take a look at Tashis. Tashis is asking a question. How could he ask that question? It's a double pasha. That shtar is not the yikir shtar, it's dasa meschayev. But that's now. I mean, when Tashis raised the question, it was before. He was working out the insight. So similarly over here, it becomes difficult a lot of times to remove ourselves from the familiarity with the sepulcher of Yetzias Mitzrayim and to place yourself in that situation. But if you do, you really see that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro with the strangest kind of communication. A communication which went against everything that his philosophy stood for. I don't mean in terms of simply recognition of God. I mean that's something itself which was against the outlook of the Egyptians. Not that they didn't recognize a supreme being, like the historians say, the Rambam says. I mean they did, but their whole religious involvement was with sub deities. Because of the primitive mind, the primitive Avodah Zarah, was that they created the sub deities and they're related to the sub deities. Okay, that's one thing. But really, what Moshe Rabbeinu confronted Paro with was two things. One was the abolition of sub deities, but it was even more. It was even more than that. It was something which on his own plane, in his own frame of reference, didn't make any sense. Because what did Moshe Rabbeinu say, basically? What Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro was that Ne'el chano shloshes yomim b'midbar v'nizbuch alor Hashem alakeinu. So what was he saying, basically? What he was saying, what he was introducing to Paro was something which was the strangest thing. No one ever made such a proposition before or after. And that is that a nation that is subordinated, that is enslaved and completely subordinated physically to another nation, that nation which is completely vanquished, downtrodden, should approach the nation that's victorious So that a nation, what Moshe Rabbeinu really went to Paro with was something which was the most extraordinary kind of proposition. What he said to him was that we are enslaved, that this nation which is enslaved, we're not going to argue about the enslavement. Enslavement is fine, no problem. They didn't come to Paro with an argument that said, let us free. We don't let us go free. We don't want to be your slaves anymore. That wasn't a proposition. Well, a person would think that's what they'd say. It's enough. There's not just. I mean, this is not right. And the slavery, especially in light of the history of the nation, is really unfair and unjust. They didn't even discuss that. What they said was that Elokei ha'ivrim nikra aleinu. What is Elokei ha'ivrim nikra aleinu? What it means is what they said was, it's true that we're enslaved, but we have a God, and this God relates to us in spite of the fact that we're enslaved. In other words, the fact that we are physically subordinated to you has nothing to do with our situation in terms of our religion, basically. In other words, our God still relates to us. He's still our God. And we're just asking you to recognize the request of our God. And you have to understand that such an idea to Paro was completely against the way the whole world thought about gods in those days. Because in those days, you see, once a nation was conquered, the gods were defeated with the conquest. You see, the gods were defeated with the conquest. And actually, the truth of the matter is that when Klal Yisrael defeated Paro, their gods, that's exactly what was done. Because that was the proof, you see, the proof that the nation's gods were not successful. And the proof was the fact that they were completely, they lost. They were completely destroyed. The nation was subordinated. The nation lost. The gods went down with the nation. And that's really, you see that from Tanakh. It's an interesting thing. In Tanakh, Malachim Beis. Okay, when Sanherib Melech Ashur attacked the Jews, it's in Malachim Beis Yudches. So he sent Rafshake. Rafshake was the general. So he sent Rafshake to threaten the Jews. So he said to them, he says, what are you relying on? Are you relying? He says, Al Tishmu. He told the people, Al Tishmu Chizkiyahu. Don't listen. It's a Malachim Beis Yudches Lamed Beis. Don't listen to Chizkiyahu. Ki Yasis Eschem Lemor. Because he is trying to talk you into the idea that Hashem Yatzilenu, God is going to save us. He says, and this is his argument. Ha-hatzel hitzilu Elohei ha-goyim ish es arzo miyad melech Ashur? Did the gods of the other nations save their lands from the king of Ashur? Ayei Elohei chamos v'arpod. Ayei Elohei sfarvayim. Heina v'iva. Ki hitzilu es shomo miyadi? That was the argument. The argument was that where are the gods? You're saying that your God is going to save you? What happened to the gods of the other nations? Where are they? The nations were defeated and the gods were defeated. You see, that was the philosophy of the nations, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So basically what Moshe Rabbeinu came to power with was a completely new idea. In other words, that the nation is defeated, the nation's enslaved, but it has nothing to do with the God of the nation. Why does the God of the nation allow his people to be in a state of enslavement and to be subdued? We can't answer that. We don't know. That's God's question. Such an idea to Paro didn't make any sense, and it was something which bothered him in terms of his own egocentricity. I mean, because Paro, really, where the Navi describes him, where the Torah describes him, it was the most egocentric individual, because he himself considered himself to be a god. So, first of all, philosophically, it was absurd to him. That's why he says, "Lo yadati es Hashem v'gamas Yisrael lo yashaleach." I mean, there's this idea that your God, I mean, it still reigns supreme in your mind, still exists, and the fact that his people are in slavery doesn't mean anything. It has nothing to do with God per se. It was something which he could not understand. That was one, that he couldn't understand it, and two, the proposition itself, of course, to him was the most, went against his own egocentricity to the highest degree. Because all they asked was, they only asked one thing. They didn't say that we should, we shouldn't be enslaved. What they said was, we just want you to let us go for 3 days. which basically really was one day, because it means you need a day to get out there, and then a day to do the avodah, and then avodah Hashem, and then a day back. So basically, they were really asking simply that Paro should recognize the whole request was a very simple one, that Paro should recognize the God of the subdued, defeated nation. That's basically what the request was. See, that was the request. It was the strangest kind of request, because it wasn't a request which had anything to do with the slavery itself. It wasn't a request where that asked that they shouldn't be enslaved anymore. No, we'll be back. We'll be back in 3 days. But what do you have to do? You have to do just one thing. Just recognize the fact that our God exists, and you, not only that, but you must respect the request of our God. That was something which to Paro was impossible, basically impossible for him to respond to such a request. I mean, you can imagine, for instance, if Paro were talking to another melech, there were other melechim in those days, and if Paro had a conference with the other melechim, and then the other melech would say, "What happened to these people? How come these people, you let these people go out for 3 days in a day?" Said, "Their God, demanded that I do this. I must respect their God's request." You see, it was something that was really the thing that Moshe Rabbeinu came with this request to Paro was completely absurd, and it was something which would be the most humiliating thing to him as the head of the nation, the most powerful nation in the world, that he has to, in some way, recognize the request of the God of the people that he has total power and total control over. That was basically the strangest kind of request in terms of the economic situation. It wouldn't really impede on it at all. Practically, 3 days. I said, "We'll come back. We'll go to work." Same thing, economically no change. Just one thing, recognition that you have to respond to the request of our God. That was something which Paro simply couldn't tolerate. Yes? That what was the... Now the question, of course, is the question we didn't answer. Because the question still is, so that really wasn't... It still wasn't true. What I want to show is like this. I want to show is... that really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented, the option that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented to Paro was based on the whole understanding of what the situation in Mitzrayim was. Why the Mitzrayim really enslaved the Jews? What the relationship was between the Mitzrayim and the Jews? Okay, it was based on a deep understanding, a true understanding, of course, of what that relationship was. See, that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. Ani yadati ki lo yitein lachem melech Mitzrayim la'aloch, v'lo biyad chazaka. Okay, God said, "I know he's not going to respond to this request." Okay, v'shalachti yesyodi v'kesi es Mitzrayim. So what happened was like this. The truth of the matter is that the reason why the Egyptians enslaved the Jews, and this was always, by the way, everything that was done was always gave power an opportunity to see the truth. I mean, he wasn't excluded. He had a bechira. Okay, but the truth of the matter is that the reason why the Jews were enslaved had nothing to do with economics, and you really could prove it very easily. Why? Because, for instance, what was the first thing was with the Miyaldos, okay? That Paro spoke to the Miyaldos, and what did he say? He said, "V'simulos are misim." Okay, first it says in the beginning of Shemos. First it says, "Havan eschak malo pen yirba." So it sounds like a rational kind of a reason, okay? Then it says, "V'simulos are misim loman nos v'sivlosom." Okay. Then it says, "Vayomar Melech Mitzrayim l'Miyaldos Ivrios, v'yaletchan es Yisrael im beinu v'amiten osov v'basi v'choyo." If people want to enslave another nation, in order to gain economically, so you don't kill the males. I mean, the males are the main workers. I mean, so why would you do that? Not only that, but even stranger. Later, what happens when the Mialdas didn't comply with Paro? So it says, Vayitzav Paro l'chol, Vayikiyorim le'el selakim v'yaslem botan, Vayitzav Paro l'chol amalema, kol abeina yilo reyorot ha'shlichu l'chol abas t'chayon. That was exerted not just on the Jews, because he couldn't at that time, he wasn't able politically to simply to do that. So it was he made exer on everybody, even the Egyptians themselves. Kol habein hayilo hayorat hashlichu b'chol abas t'chayim. So you see that he even made exer which destroyed his which destroyed a large part of his own people. So you see, it was not for economic gain that Paro was enslaving Klal Yisrael, was enslaving the Jews. The enslavement was completely a psychological phenomenon. It was really, yes. Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. That, yeah, when Paro justified the avdus in economic terms. Hein rabbe mata amoris vishbata masam misavlosam. But what I'm saying is that was just a disguise. That was just a disguise. The economics of the situation was just a disguise. The real underlying reason was a hatred for Klal Yisrael, and the hatred stemmed from the relationship that existed, that they knew existed between Klal Yisrael and their God. Elokei ha'ivrim nikra lenu. That was really the whole purpose of the Avdus. The Avdus had a superficial type of excuse for itself, for its existence. Because you can't do anything, you're just crazy after all, he's a melech. He has to have some kind of way of presenting this to the people. But he hid behind the economics of the situation. But every now and then, he'd move outside of that in a way which demonstrated that was not really the whole Avdus. The Avdus was not economics. It was the Avdus was based on Sinah, and it was an attempt to degrade Klal Yisrael and really to disprove their God. That really was the purpose of the Avdus. But the Avdus, of course, had to have a certain exterior. So that's why, you see, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro with this proposition, the proposition was one that completely exposed his true purpose. Okay? Because the proposition really didn't interfere with the economics at all. That's it. 3 days. Economically, on the contrary. You see, the people want to do this so much, so let them go 3 days, and they'll come back. They'll be able to work even better. They'll satisfy their needs. So in terms, the request itself was one that really brought before Paro the whole conflict, the inner conflict that he had in terms of the Avdus, his own inner feelings, you see, and it exposed his own motivation. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "I need yadati ki lo yitain lochem melech Mitzrayim la'aloch." He asked him for 3 days, but he cannot do this. He's unable to do this because this is really the whole avdus. The avdus is not economics. The avdus is not peace on the Ramses. The avdus is really to destroy the people, to destroy the whole character of the people and the relationship that they have to their God. That's basically what it is. And this request is the perfect experiment. I mean, this is the perfect experiment. Now you can see, if it's economics, he would let him go. But if it was just based on his own evil inclinations, so then, of course, this would strike him in a way that it would be impossible for him to respond. Okay, now it's an interesting thing. When you take a look at the Makos, you see that So that's what I'm saying. So Paro. So yeah, just as you were saying.
Yeah. The Rashi,
and that is what
that fits into that Rashi. Why they were saved? The begadim, the character.
Correct. That's right. The Lashina Malbushim shows that they still retained still retained their own character. Yeah. And actually, that message really is contained. It's contained. That idea is contained in the Sneh. Okay. It's contained in the Sneh. Because you take a look at what happened by the snare. Okay. So it says, I don't like to really to darshan symbolic interpretations, because it becomes a very arbitrary kind of an area. Yeah, but without going too far, okay, so like this. Pasuk says in Shmos Gimel, okay? Vayera malach ad Hashem elo Moshe roi son Yisro chos nokoen midyon Vayera malach Hashem elo belabas eish mitoch asneh Vaya Vine asneh boer bo eish. Okay, the sneh is completely burning in fire. Vasneh in an uko. But the sneh is not consumed. Okay, asneh in an uko. Okay, and there's this question I offered to Jack Roth. He brought it to my attention. But the Rishonim talk about it. Vayelo Moshe, Asurinov Ve'era, and Samara Godlazer. Okay, so strange thing. What happened to causality? The Snez Bor Ba'esh Vasnein and Uko. So it defies the laws of causality. Okay, Asurinov Ve'era, Samara Godlazer. This is something which is not a physical phenomenon. It's a metaphysical phenomenon. After something which requires a thought, Amaragalzet. But what did he ask? It says, "Madua lo yivarasne." Madua lo yivarasne. So the question that is raised. Ramban talks about it. The Abarbanel talks about it. The question shouldn't have been madua lo yivarasne. The question should have been, Madua lo yu'ukal asneh? In other words, what do you mean? It says, Vihine asneh boer boesh, right? The sneh is burning a fire, vasneh nene uko. So what is the logical problem? Is the logical problem that it was burning? That wasn't the problem. The problem was asneh nene uko. So what did he say, Madua lo yivar asneh? On the contrary, the pasuk just said before, Vihine asneh boer boesh. Okay? It's an open question. So what I have here is that really Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question in the most logical way possible. He asked the question in the most logical way possible. Why? An ordinary person would have asked, Madua lo yukal asneh? Burning a fire? How come it's not consumed? Arshman didn't ask that question. He asked a different question. His question was, he saw that if it is not consumed, then it shows you it's not burning. Because it's impossible that it should be burning minimally and not be consumed. If it's burning minimally, so then it will be consumed for a certain amount. So therefore he said, Madua Suranova Eres Amara Godlazeh, Madua Lo Yivarasne. Rashbam says, interesting, Rashbam says that there wasn't even a gachelas, nothing. It was just a complete conflagration without even any type of the process. The burning process really didn't affect it at all. So really, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that it's not possible that it should be burning, partially burning. But on the contrary, the logical question, the question he framed was perfectly logical. Was Madua lo yivaras now? How come? Why isn't it burning at all? Why doesn't it catch on fire? You see. So Chazal says. Rashi says that what is the snare? The snare really is Kal Yisrael, because he says it reflected imo anochi betzar. So what's the idea? So what is the idea? The idea is that Klal Yisrael, it's not just that Klal Yisrael has a part a metaphysical part to it. But the idea was, the idea is actually that the metaphysical part of Klal Yisrael is unaffected, or completely unaffected by the physical. That's the nature of the Klal, which means to say that Klal Yisrael partakes of Elokei Yisrael in a way, you see, that the metaphysical is completely unaffected by the physical. Madua lo yivarasne. You can't affect that part of Klal Yisrael. No matter what is done to Klal Yisrael in the physical way, the metaphysical part remains completely unaffected. You see, and that was basically the message that he came to Paro with. The fact that we're in Avdus is true. That's a physical phenomenon. We're in Avdus. But in terms of our relationship to Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Oivrim, Nikra Olenu, nothing changed. Not a drop. Now, Neil Chana Shloshes Yom Bamidbar, we received the tzivut from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to go, and it makes us, the same thing would be if we were in Avdus. It has nothing, no, it doesn't affect us one iota. So actually, this idea that is contained in the snare, you see, was part of the message, part of the communication, that it is reflected in the communication that he gave Paro. Namely, that the Hasne Boa Boesh, the Avdus, is horrible, but Madula Yivarasne, Madula Yivarasne, the snare is completely unaffected. And that was the message you came to Paro with. The fact that you have physically, you have power over us has nothing whatsoever to do with our metaphysical relationship with God. It's completely separate, completely different. Unaffected completely. Okay? And that's why, for instance, when Moshe Rabbeinu was negotiating with Paro, At one point, he said, you actually look at the negotiation, see an interesting thing. In Dom, now you see, in Dom there was no negotiations, right? It was just simply, take a look. It says, Vayifen para vayel abesu lo shos liba gam lozos. That's it. Didn't the Dom, forget, didn't bother me. Vayach bruchol mitzrayim shivas hayor mayim lishtos, ki lo yochlish is mayim mar, then it says in Shmo Zion, Pasuk Chavdalit. Pasuk Chafei, Vayimole Shivas Yomim, Achre Akos Hashem Asayar. No negotiation. Next thing was the Tzvardeya. Okay, what happened by the Tzvardeya? He says, by the Tzvardeya he gave in. Vayikra Fala Moshe Levaron, Hatiru Hashem, V'yosu HaTzvardim, V'ashalcho Asom, V'yizbuchu Lad Hashem. Okay. So then Moshe says, Sporalai, tell me when, you want to show him, okay. Vayimole Lamachar, Laman, he says, Vayimole Kizvorcho, okay, so that was this Tzvardeya. Then what was next? Next was Kinim. Okay. Now what's strange about Kinim is, you see, what's strange about Kinim is they're very funny. Why? Because by Tzvardeya he gave in. Then what happened by Kinim? It says Vayasu Chena Chatumim Belotehem Lahotzi Yasakinim Velo Yocholu. They weren't able to do it. Vatia kinam, the chatum couldn't duplicate this one. Vatia kinam ba'odim v'abema. Then it says vayomach chatum aparo etz balakimi. What does it mean? This is something we don't even know how to even replicate this in the smallest way. I have no idea. So you think on the contrary that would be the case where he'd given more, right? No, vayechz laklev paro v'loshama lam kasheri b'ashem. Okay. Because, on the contrary, the more the nace reflected the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more impossible it became for him to give in. You see, the more impossible it became for him to give in. Next was Orov, and in Orov it's interesting. Vayasad Hashem came, Vayikra Pharaoh Moshe Lam Vayoma, Luchu Zivchu Lelokechem Bo'oretz. You see, he was already compromising. And you have to understand what the Rambam says, that the Novi was a person who had the greatest courage. I mean, you can't imagine what kind of courage it took for a Novi to go in front of a Melech and to tell him the Dvar Hashem. I mean, you don't realize that. You know, you just think the Novi is protected. It seems easy. But the truth of the matter is that the Navi is in tremendous danger, and he's on his own. I mean, the Navim were killed. I mean, So Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, I think like this expresses, you know, this really shows, I mean, the unbelievable courage of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, "V'chu zivchu lelekechem bo'oretz, v'yoma Moshe lo nochon lasos kein." We can't do that. Why? Ki tovas Mitzrayim nizbach lad Hashem alakeinu. What is tovas Mitzrayim? Your God. We have to sacrifice your gods, what you were, that which you worship as a god, is exactly the thing we have to sacrifice. So, hey nizbach es tovas Mitzrayim leinei v'lo yiskalunu, they won't be able to tolerate this emotionally. I mean, see the message that Moshe Rabbeinu gave was one in which there wasn't an ounce of compromise. No compromise whatsoever. Okay, no compromise whatsoever. The request was logical, 100% logical, but from an emotional standpoint, there was no compromise whatsoever. It would be really what a businessman would call bad negotiation. Because in good negotiations, you're giving on the other person's emotions, but you try to keep the financial, the economics. Over here was exactly the opposite. Okay, the economics totally gave it up. What he didn't give in on was there was no compromise when it came to the emotion. Hey nizbachas tovas Mitzrayim la'einehem v'lo yiskeludo. Okay, and then again. Okay, so that was really then Dever, interesting pasuk again. What happened with the Dever? King Moyantal Shlech, Hini Yad Hashem Hoy, Mitnacha Sher Basada, Basusa Machmar, Magmar, Barkasan, Dever Kovim Lord. But that was one, that wasn't enough. The Hiflod Hashem, Bain Miknei Yisrael, Vain Miknei Mitzrayim. Okay? And now you're going to see that God differentiates between this cattle and that cattle. The Loyomus Mikol Ivnei Yisrael Dover. Not one death will occur in the cattle that belongs to the Jews. Okay, v'yosh Hashem moed lam mocha yas Hashem adover zebar, v'yas Hashem es adover zemim mochros, v'yomos kol miknei Mitzrayim, umi miknei v'nei Yisrael lo meisechot. Then it says v'yishlach Paro. Paro sent out messengers, v'hinei lo meis mi miknei Yisrael adechot. So on the contrary, so that should have really hit him hard. No, v'yichbad leif Paro v'lo shilach zon. It's an amazing thing. Whenever the more the nace reflected clearly God, the worse he became. See, that's the possibility. I know he's never going to be able to give in to this request. This is a request which is tailored in a way that it robs him of all his superficial, or his front. He's that which he claims, you know, his pretense, that why he's enslaving the Jews is completely removed, because now we're staying 3 days. But when he's we're isolating the shlichus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an isolation of the whole emotion, the very essence of what Paro was really after. And the psukim reflected. It's an amazing thing. Okay. He knew Yetzi Amaymo, because he considered himself he was his own deity. I mean, Leo Rani Assassini, Navi. I mean, quit. Yeah. Then again, Shchin also. See, Shchin is interesting too, because it says by Shchin, every mako was different. Every mako different was his, you know, every mako was really affecting a different way. It says Voyalova Kolarzaim Voyal Ala Adam Ala Ben Shchin Parecha Vabuos Becholars Mitzrayim. Okay. And then it happened. Then it says, I mean, this affected the Chatum so badly they couldn't even stay there. Okay? Immediately, next pasuk. That's it. See? It's an amazing thing. Every time the more he was hit, the more he couldn't do it. The more he refused. Now, the Makkah that really was the finale. See, there were two finales. The first group. The finale was the next Makkah, really. Was Makkah's... Borod. Borod was the finale. Because the rest, after Borod, is... Borod... yeah, that's it. Arba Choshech HaMakkah's Bechoros was really in order to... So up to here was the normal Makkah. It should have ended over here, but no, that was Kadosh Baruch Hu's Machbid Libo. You see, Kani Yechbadid Yis Libo, because really up till now he should have caved in. But now, ani echbar this libo, leman shisiyoso sayelo bekirbo, leman tasaper ba'ozne vincho ven vincho. So you have to differentiate between the makas up to borod and the makas after borod. Arba choshech makas b'chorot. Okay. So the culmination is really borod. And the pasuk says so. It says, Ko amar Hashem elokei ivrim shalach es ami v'yavduni. See, v'yavduni, it says. Shalach ami v'yavduni. No, it wasn't Shal Chasami to remove him from Avdus. Ki bapam azos ani shaloyech es kol magefos ayel libcho vavodecho vamecho vavur teida kein kamaru halatz. This was Makas Borod. Borod was kol magefos ayel libcho. That's the famous Rashi, where it says there's a mistake in some of the prints. It says Makas Bacharis. So Makas Bacharis. How did that happen? Because it said Membeis. So they made a mistake. The printer originally said Membeis, but it Makas Borod. Makas Borod. Makas Borod was most powerful of all the Makas. Because Makas Borod was really the atmosphere is really the most frightening thing for the Ovid of Arazara, the primitive worshipper, is always he looks up to the heavens and the atmosphere. I mean, that was the most frightening thing. The Makas Borod was Kol Magefos Ayalibcho. Okay? Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that was the one that really broke him the most. Because it says, Vayishlach Paro Vayikol Moshe Vayamalem Chotosi HaPam Ad Hashem HaTzadik Vani V'Ami Yerushayim. Okay? But in spite of that, I mean, the momentary effect was really powerful. But then Vayar Par Kichod Lamotar Vaborod Vakolos Vayislach Vayach Beit Is Libo Huva Vayachazak Leifar Lishnechas Bnei Yisrael Kasher Bereshon Moshe. Okay. So yeah. So I just want to show another instance. Then of course he had the Arba, then the Arba, and he says yeah. So and the Arba and the Choshech. After the Choshech was really a psychological Makkah, like we explained. Choshech was a psychological marker, was isolation. It was purely psychological. Nothing really happened to them. Because for primitive man, the worst thing is to be in isolation, because he has to constantly act out all his primitive emotions. So to be in isolation for him is the worst thing. So the chacham, isolation is a wonderful thing. But for the other, it's the worst thing. So then, of course, Paro again started. After that, he started l'chu ivdu esad Hashem raktzon chem uvakachem yutzod gam tapchem yelechem achem. He just wanted to retain some kind of control. You see, but like I said before, the request did not permit the slightest compromise. Vayom Moshe no gam mata titin b'din esvachem volos asim lo Hashem lekeno lo sishua parso ki menu nikach lavar esad Hashem lekeno. Okay. That was really Altosef Rose Ponai, and that was what they said to him was what are they going to do? They said to him, they actually, by what you bring is good. I said also the thing is that the purpose was to really uncover his true motivation. That was the purpose of the request, was tailored precisely to uncover his true motivation. And even the Mitzrim saw it. That's from the Aisi from Perigud Pasuk Zion. Vayomru avdei faro elov, ad nosa yiez elona lamotesh. Shalach es anoshim v'yavdu sada shem lakeyem. Haterem teda ki avdam etzrayim. And we're losing everything. Don't you see what's that? You know, it's economically, it doesn't make any sense anymore. So really, that shows, that supports the idea, I mean, the concept that we're saying, that the whole thing was really geared to uncovering his true motivation to the point where he should have seen it, but he refused to see it because of his Bechira, and the nation themselves eventually saw that this is crazy. This man is, he's a crazy man. He's driven by some kind of insane emotion, because practically, attempt of the Mitzrayim. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, yeah. All the psukim, if you go to all the psukim, corroborate that. That's true. That was his big problem. I mean, how he did it, we don't know. Obviously, he was a clever maneuver. I mean, you don't need too much. He's a good politician. I mean, today you have the best example of, you don't have to look too far. See what a politician can do. What a politician can get away with. Okay. So what we're saying here is, this request was tailor-made to uncover his whole facade, remove the whole facade, and uncover his true motivation. And there couldn't be the slightest compromise in this request, because the request, that's what it was made for. See, the moment if he would retain some control, that would take away from the whole idea of the request. Then he'd be able to do it. What he couldn't do was to conform to the request itself. But if he changed it, he's able to change it, then it's all over. Because then he said, oh, he retains control, they didn't really go. See, he couldn't be allowed to delude himself in the essence of the demand, you see, of the tzivoy. Okay. That's really all the psukim show this. Okay. So now the question. So the question was that how is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should use a request that really doesn't seem to be truthful. The answer is, it was truthful. See, it was truthful. Why? Because the request really to allowing the Jews, his reluctance to allowing the Jews to go and serve God. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at what happened when he finally had to give in after Makas Bacharos, yeah. After that, I'm sorry, right after that. Okay, yeah, it's in Bo, after Shlishi. When the last thing was, he wanted to change the request, you see. And yeah, this explains something else, by the way. Because as Zev Meir asked a good question. Question is, that why did Moshe Rabbeinu after the Makkah say, you know, okay, tell us now, you know, are you going to let us go or not? He should have done the other way. What he should have said was, before I remove the Makkah, let us go. Mm-hmm. You know? Guaranteed. Right? Yeah. That would have been better, right? See, a negotiator knows that there are ways to ways to work these things out. You say that we can go, you want the Makkah removed, you let us go, and then we'll have the Makkah removed. That would be the logical way to work it. But the answer is, what's the answer? No, the answer is because this was really not, the purpose of this was not simply to have Klal Yisrael get out for 3 days. I mean, that was purpose was that Paro should recognize what his real motivation of the Avdus is, and he should be able to realize that this is false, and it's false, his idea of God is false, and everything that he's doing is really based on Rishis. And you see, that's what he said. Because he said, yeah, what was Lashon? Anochi, yeah, Chatas Lashon, Anochi Rosha. Right. Va'ani va'ami Yerushalayim. Yeah. Chatas Hashem. Right. So that was really, you see, he did reach that. He did reach that point under the tremendous stress of the Makkos. But so from that, you could see what the purpose was. That was really the purpose. They should recognize that this is purely evil, And the whole avdus is nothing more. It's a ruse. It's just a fake in order to be able to deny God. That's the whole purpose of the thing. So, and that's what says Chatasu Hashem. You see, Anochi Rosha. Hashem Atzarik Vani Vamar Shoyim. Yeah. So he admitted that he's the Rosha. That was really the purpose, but under the stress. But then, of course, the stress was removed. I mean, the stress really was something which pushed him into a certain situation where his bechira was compromised, whatever. But the wasn't compromised. But the point is, it pushed him into a situation where the truth came out. The objective, in other words, the objective can be seen in the psukim under the stress. But the real objective was that it shouldn't be under the stress. The real objective was that it should be a true recognition. So that's why if Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, yeah, let us go first, and then we'll get rid of the Makkah, sure he would have done it. But that would be nothing. What would that be? They wouldn't accomplish anything. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was that he should recognize the evil that is in himself and what he really is doing, and he should be chos b'tshuva. And he's chos b'tshuva, be good for him, be good for Kol Yisrael. But just to have Kol Yisrael run away because he's under the stress of the Makkah, that there's no purpose in doing that. It wouldn't accomplish anything. The purpose had nothing to do with the physical conditions, removing the avdus, the physical conditions of the avdus. The purpose was a much higher purpose. It was his recognition of God that was demanded, and Klal Yisrael's observing the fact that he does recognize God. Because that was the whole Nasati Eschino Mazad Bein Mitzrayim. Gam Yish Moshe Godel Mod Be'eretz Mitzrayim Be'ein Yad Defar Ve'ein Avodot. So the nation wasn't supposed to leave because of a plague. You see, the nation was supposed to leave because they were asked, Gam Ata Titin Be'edin Uzvachim Volos. What does that mean? Gam Ata, they were supposed to leave in the most respectful way. The recognition of God had to be complete. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, okay, first let us go and then I'll get rid of the Makkah, yeah, he would have let them go. No, but that would defeat the whole purpose. See, the purpose wasn't to let them go. The purpose was he should have the recognition of his own evil. He should be chos v'tshuva, and Klal Yisrael should recognize that he himself recognizes that he has to recognize Elokei Oyvim. See, that was the purpose. So under leaving under the stress of the Makkah just because of an ultimatum, that would defeat the whole purpose. That wasn't the purpose. And that's why when he started coming, he said, no, purpose is clear throughout the psukim. Okay, so now, but take a look. What happens over here? And this is really where the question is answered. Vayomar Hashem al Moshe od nega echod ovi al parav al Mitzrayim. Achrechein yishalach eschem mizeh. What does the pasuk say? Kishalcho, when he does send you out. Kolo. Goresh, Goresh Eschem Mizeh. He's not going to send you for 3 days. He's going to chase you out of here. Goresh, Goresh. He doesn't want to see you gone. You see? Why? What does that show? What does that show? Because the whole purpose of the avdus is over. The moment he has to recognize God, there's no need for avdus anymore. The avdus is just a disguise. You see? The avdus is an excuse that he has to use to fool himself and to fool the people. But basically, what the whole avdus is about is a denial of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as a denial of Elokei Oyvim, denial of recognition of the true God, himself, and also the Elokei Oyvim that this God relates to, this nation that's really downtrodden, and that's completely under the control of the most powerful nation in the world. This little nation has a special relation, metaphysical relation. Madula Ivasna. So that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. That the moment he sends you out, it's not going to be for 3 days because that's economics. That would be for an economical plan. I mean, then of course it would be 3 days. But since it has nothing to do with economics, the moment he's going to be forced to recognize God is kol goresh yigoresh eschem mizeh. He doesn't want to see you anymore. Because just the mere sight of such a nation in his presence as Avodim would destroy him. Because that would mean that this nation, that every day he sees them in Avdus, and this, and he has to respond to their God's request. Their God really exists. He really relates to them. And he's the supreme being. I mean, this would be impossible. He couldn't tolerate. The Avdus is worse. He'd rather not see them. Get them out of there. You see? Kol HaGoresh Yigareshus HaMirah. So that's what Daber Nebozayom, Yishlu Shemei Yisrael, Yishmei Yisrael. Whole plan. And what is the Vayitan Hashem Eschino Om Beini Mitzrayim, Gamma Yishmo Shigol Mo Beret Yisrayim, Beini Avdai Farah Veini Om. So it wasn't really, you see, that's why it was not a lie. It was not a lie. Because there was no middle case. In other words, it would be impossible for him. You see, it would be, the request was one, that's what the Ibn Ezra says, that when God's request was formulated with infinite chokhmah, because God was saying, that's what God said to Moshe, neither the Leitain Eschem Melech Mitzrayim, Laloch, the Shalachta Yesyodivi Kase Mitzrayim, and then Klausel is going to go out. Why? Because it's virtually impossible for him to conform to this request. There's no way he could do it. You see, first of all, he can't do it because he can't allow himself to give in to this request. And secondly, when he does give in, he can't take the 3 days. The whole thing, there's no possibility like that. So therefore, you see, you understand what I'm saying? It was virtually that possibility that he will force them out. He'll be forced to have them leave, and that they should go for 3 days doesn't exist. First of all, he can't do it, and secondly, if he does it, he'll never want them back, because that's not the Avdus. The Avdus has nothing to do with it. Just on the surface, it's the excuse, the pretense, that which he's using for political reasons, but it has nothing to do with the Avdus.
Why do you count 3 days later?
So the thing is like this. The truth of the matter is that you're right. The Pasuk says, Vayugad, I mean, every piece has to be analyzed. The Pasuk says, Vayugad l'malach Mitzrayim ki vorach ha'om, okay, Vayehofech l'vav parvot ha'om, Vayomer mazosa sinu ki shilachnes Yisrael me'avdeino, okay. What it means is like this, that he thought that they escaped. In other words, what he did was, he said that they didn't keep their agreement. Right? That they kivaracham. That they didn't keep their agreement. In other words, he really sent them out. He sent them out, Goresh Yigareshus HaMirah.
Yeah, well,
what? Yeah, he changed his mind, yeah. So it means the Russia keeps changing. What does it say, the Chazal say, Rishoyim kol yomayim b'charata. Rishoyim always, they're all their days, they're always changing their mind. So that's why it says, Mazos asinu ki shilachnes Yisrael me'avdeino. You see? In other words, what do we, kishlachnes, we sent them out, what did we do? They only asked for 3 days. And what do we do? We sent them out. We expelled them. You see, so that was crazy. That was crazy. Now he changed his mind. But why did he change his mind? He changed his mind kivaracham, because he was able to project onto them. You see, that they were dishonest. See, vayugad lemelech Mitzrayim kivaracham. The moment now he sees that now he can project evil onto them. So then. That mitigates, you see, that validates that is, then he's able to make them into Rishoyim, then he'll take them back. You follow? Why? Very simple reason. Because the moment he could say that they're deceitful, so then he doesn't have to respect their God anymore, and then in other words, if he can project onto Klal Yisrael deceit, so then he'll take them back. Because then he'll say, see that? They're liars, they're deceitful, therefore be in that state of mind, you see, taking them back is not a recognition of their God anymore. On the contrary, they're liars, and they're involved in this whole lie with their God, so then you would take them back. What? The conflict can go on. I mean, the whole idea of the Torah is trying to show you that a conflict can go on under various disguises. What the underlying emotion is not in conformity with the external. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, that's the whole idea here. The whole idea in the parsha is to show you that what a person presents on the surface as an excuse for what he's doing has nothing to do with the underlying motivation. So over here, what the Torah is showing you is another permutation in that same conflict. In other words, the first thing was, we have to look, we're coming to you with a fair deal. This is what we want to do. But this deal demands that you recognize God. Okay? Can't do it. There's no way he can do it. You see? So that's why, under that state of mind, you see, what did he say? He said he's not going to send them out. And when he sent them out, he didn't want them anymore. He didn't want to see them anymore. Get out. But then, by you got a little Malcolm saying, Ki Varacham, he said that they ran away. In other words, that they, he started to project onto them that they were deceitful. They didn't keep their part of the bargain. Now the conflict can come back. See, now he could have a new disguise. What's the new disguise? The new disguise is that they really are evil people, and this whole idea of their God is completely false. Of course, you see they're liars. So now we could take them back, and he can continue to oppress them. But who is he really trying to oppress? God! I mean, he's trying to deny God. That's basically, you understand what I'm saying? There are various, that's the whole idea of Chil Hashem. What's the idea of Chil Hashem? Chil Hashem means that if a person is a big Talmud Chacham, so as long as the Amoritz can't find anything wrong with him, he has to respect God. He's forced to. But the moment he finds the slightest thing, that's it. You see that? The whole thing. What does that have to do with it? But that's really the psychology. That's the psychology of human being. That's the way a person works. So if he could project onto them that they were barach, that they were evil, then he'll take them back, of course. Now you see, this whole thing, all he needs is some way to slip out of the idea that God is, that he is recognizing God, and there's no, he has nothing, this is a deal, it's perfect, he has no way out of it. When he's boxed in like that, he can't function. But if he could project evil onto them, yeah, then I'll take. Now he's back in the ballpark again. That's a different kind of a battle. You understand what I'm saying? There are various ways that the person can fool himself and disguise the justification for what he's doing when underneath, really, it's a completely different motivation. That was the next. Actually, I mean, you see, it works out beautifully. Why? Because the whole thing was as long as he had no way out. You see, he had no way to satisfy his desires against God. He had no way to say. He couldn't budge. Couldn't do it. Then when he did it, he had to throw them out. Goresh, yigoresh eschem. He had to throw them out completely. Why? Because he couldn't tolerate. He could not tolerate that they'd go for 3 days and come back. That would be intolerable. So he threw them out. But when he threw them out, then he got upset because it was destroying him basically, because he had to give in. It was a recognition, he had to give in. So because he was burning with anger, because he was forced into that position, so then he heard Kivar Ha'om, now he has a new disguise. What is the new one? The new one is that these people don't keep their agreement, they're liars. They said they're coming back in 3 days. You see? So now once he could defame them, then he doesn't have to worry about God anymore. Because you see, they're liars, their God is in with them, the whole thing is false. All he needs is some justification. It's like the justification of a Russia who seeks to undo a tzaddik. What does he do? He simply finds something, oh, you see? And then he becomes a kofer bigger. Why does he see that? The whole system's no good. And once he has that, once he can justify himself that they're phonies, that the whole system's no good, then of course we'll take them back. Then he has the greatest justification. So actually, you see, it's perfect the way it worked. It shows you that he had the first disguise. This request stripped it completely of all the externals, where he was forced into this position that he couldn't comply with. And when he had to comply, the only response was, threw them out completely. Kishilach and Soma Avdeinu. But then there was one more permutation. And what was that? That he was able to project evil onto them. Kivarcham. Of course, he was burning. The fact that you have to imagine what kind of a state of mind he was in when he was forced to recognize God and send them out. So then what he did was he projected evil onto them, and then he went after, now we'll take them back. See, as long as he doesn't have to recognize Elokei Oivrim, he wants the Avdus. That was his last maneuver. I mean, that was the purpose. You mean, yeah, of course, right, yeah, of course. That's what the Ibn Ezra says, that Chochmas Hashem is Ein Laharach, because it's an amazing thing, because you see the psychological Chochmah, but this was all in line with the fact that there was supposed to be Kriyas Hamsuf. I mean, so that's the type of Chochmah, I mean, that a bus or a dog can't possibly, you know what I mean, how everything fits perfectly into the pattern. But each aspect is Chochmah, and of course the purpose was for Kriyas Yamsuf, for that they should drown in the sea. But every step, you see, was within, it wasn't just simply, you see this rhyme in Kriyas Yamsuf, every step was logically precise. And the psychological plan, and all the permutations of Paro fit in perfectly, of course, with the ultimate plan of Kriyas Yamsuf. Yeah, the Russia ultimately destroys himself. There's no question about it. Yeah, that's a good question. On a personal plane, it affected them, but not in terms of a Lekei Avram, a Lekei Yitzchak, or a Lekei Yaakov. In terms of the that's what am I going to say? He said Lekei Yelech Vosaftas. That's after the snare. That's right. Lech Vosaftas Zikne Yisrov Matleim and Hashem Lekei Vasechem Nira Elai Lekei Avram Yitzchak VYaakov Lemar Pakot Pakarti Eschem Vesa Osu Lachem BeMitzrayim. Okay, Roma Al Eschem Me'Ani Mitzrayim. It means that in terms of the plan, I mean, there's different aspects of relationship with God, but in terms of the plan of the Ashgacha, of the Avtacha to the Avos, unaffected. That's what Chazal. Excuse me? Yeah, and here it's referring, you have to understand, when the Torah speaks, it speaks in different realms. In that realm, they were unaffected. As a matter of fact, you see, what did Chazal say? Chazal said that they were down the lowest Shari Tumah, Menta Shari Tumah. One more, they would have been gone. So that's why the Gula had to come earlier. So what does it show you? It shows you that metaphysical relationship between Klal Yisrael via the root of the Avos is unaffected. That's a special dimension. That was the Haftachat Avram Avinu, and that remains unaffected. That remains unaffected. I think I was there. That's why I started with Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Morgan Avram. Yeah. There's no question. Right. Yeah. No, there's no question about it that it's only the snares in terms of the Ummah. In terms of the Ummah, the specific Ashgacha to the Ummah. It's not in terms of the Yachid. But it is also true that the Yachid can replicate, and many times by many Chazal, the Yachid can replicate what happens to the Ummah if he's on a very high level. It may say that a person can be on a level where the physical simply, whatever happens to the physical, it does not affect his doesn't affect the metaphysical. That such a thing is possible for a Yachid. Yes. The guy like Moses, Brisi Yitam, Loses Lemes Eretz Canaan. That means that remained sound. That metaphysical relationship with God was never touched. That's what it means. No matter what. And it's true, it could have been undone if they would have gone a little steep lower, but that, you see, the Ashgacha intervened, didn't allow it. So it means that has to remain that way. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu has a lot of kashas. Okay. That's right. Now that's good right. The photo has been good right. It says, Ru ki ra negev penecha. That was after what? After Arba? Yeah, so he knows he's projecting a kind of evil already onto them. Yeah, Ru ki is very good. It's very good. Because if he could project evil onto them, that would free him from the recognition. Because that's really a div chil Hashem. What does chil Hashem mean? Once you undo the Talmud Chacham, it's a chil Hashem. It means by that mere fact, you've already removed, you've already created a situation where the person, where the person's relationship to God has been destroyed. Because he says, see that whole thing's bad, and he includes God. It's a Chil Lashem. Chil Lashem. So if Paro could find the justification to be Machal Lashem, then he'd be able to tolerate it. And that was the last minute. Okay. All right. Stop it. Yeah.